He said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He said, just go ahead and wash me all over. I need cleansing all over. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needs not to save his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not at all. And what he was saying was, if we're saved by the grace of God, we're clean, but walking in this old dirty world, we need a cleansing every once in a while. All right, now skip down to verse 12, if you will. In verse 12, so after he washed their feet and taking his garments was set down, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well. In other words, he said, that's the right thing to do. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. I want you to notice that word example. You can underline that. It's not a church ordinance. It's not something. He's not saying this, do this every time you have the Lord's Supper. It's not a church ordinance. It's an example of humility, and I'm going to show you. That ye should do even as I have done to you. Now, skip. Well, go ahead and read it all. Then, listen. Verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, Jesus wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy. And I'm going to show you that tonight. God wants His children to be happy. I want my children to be happy. I want my grandchildren to be happy. But God, the Father of all creation, He wants His children to be happy. And I want to help you tonight to know how to be happy. Amen. It's Christmas. We could title this, Why Presents Will Not Make You Happy. Presents will not make you happy. Amen. But I'm not going to do that because y'all call me a Scrooge. So I want to talk to you tonight. I'm just calling it How to Be Happy and know it. How to be happy and know it. The first thing you need to know is the happiness of the wicked. The wicked do have some happiness. I want to show you. Look at Psalm 17:14. Psalm 17:14. Some people say, well, you know, lost people are not happy. That's not true. They are sometimes happy. But it's a different kind than what we have. Psalm 17:14. Look at it with me. From men which they are, Psalm 17:14, I can't even read. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. But I want you to notice, now if you take that word and you make happiness satisfied, he's talking about wicked men. He's talking about, it's a whole different context, but I want to show you this. He said, from men of this world, which have their portion in this life, they've got what they need, and whose belly ye fill us with hid treasure. He's saying, now look, even the men of this world, God feeds their belly, and God gives them what they have. All things come from Him. He's the Father that created all. He's the Father that keeps it all. So if you want to equate happiness with fulfillment, then sometimes you can say lost people are happy because they're filled with whatever they want. But it's a temporary fulfillment. It's not a permanent thing. It's a short thing. You know yourself. There'll be Christmas parties and people get together and they'll go do a little drinking and some of them might even do a little drugs. And then all of a sudden those sad, morbid people start laughing and going on. And there is joy in sin for a season. The Bible says so. So as a lost person, you can have temporary fulfillment or happiness or contentment or a feeling of well-being temporarily, but tomorrow you got to do it again to get it again. And the next day, you got to do it again to get it again. And the next day, and pretty soon, it's probably going to kill you because it's an artificial thing making you content. You're not content with what God has already given you, so you're always seeking more and more happiness, and it's always just right out beyond where you can quite reach it. And you're never completely happy. And you're never completely fulfilled. And by the way, if you don't believe that, look at the divorce rate. Over 50% of marriages end in divorce. You know why? They thought somebody was going to make them happy. Nobody's going to make you happy. Only God can make you happy. Amen. All of us are made out of dirt, every one of us. And all of us are sinners from birth, every one of us. And you shouldn't look to people to make you happy. I'll tell you one thing, a pastor can't do it. If I look for people to keep me happy, I'd have quit 30-something years ago. Because people will let you down. That's the nature of us. So happiness or fulfillment or contentment can be. They can have a full belly. God supplies them with what they need. Every good gift comes from above. People say, well, I worked for that. I said, no, the grace of God gave you that house. Well, I exercise. I got good health. I said, no, people that exercise get cancer and die too. It's the grace of God you got good health. Amen? Well, I don't drink liquor. What's the grace of God? You ain't a drunk. Amen? And so they think that they accomplish these things and they accomplish their contentment on their own and they accomplish their happiness that they create it, and it's not true. And I'm going to show you why. Now that word, listen, their happiness is derived from their wealth, it's derived from their position, it's derived from their power, it's derived from gluttony, it's derived from drunkenness, it's derived from oppression to others, it's derived from applause. You ever heard movie stars and singers say this, I'm not happy unless I'm entertaining? It's a lie. It's a lie. It's not the entertainment that makes them happy. It's the applause at the end of the entertainment that makes them happy. Y'all see what I'm saying? It feeds their ego. It strokes their little ego. You know, makes them feel better. And if you knew them, you wouldn't even like them. And that's why when these newspaper reporters say, well, movie star this or movie starlet this or singer this or rock this or rap this or country this, they said this and they say that. And I always say, why should I care what somebody that entertains me thinks about politics? I don't listen to them because what they think about politics. I listen to them for some other reason. Maybe they're a poet and I like their poetry. Maybe they're a singer and I like their singing. But I don't go to them for politics or spiritual advice. Amen. Somebody said, you voted for Trump. I heard him cuss one day. I didn't vote for him to be my Sunday school teacher. I wish he wouldn't cuss. Amen. I wish he talked better. But he's a New York Yankee. That's the way the good ones talk. You want to hear the bad ones. Amen. Amen. Ooh, I'm going to preach the Bible whether you want to hear it or not. But their happiness is derived from things that are temporary or things that are hurtful to other people. If money brings them happiness, they don't care who it hurts to get that money. They'll sell you drugs. They'll sell you liquor. They'll sell you sex. They'll sell you perversion. They'll do whatever they've got to do. They'll rob a bank. Whatever they got to do to get that money to feel that sense of contentment and happiness, that's what they're going to do. And most of the time, it hurts other people by doing it. Y'all still with me? I mean, you ain't mad at me, are you? I don't care if you are or not. I don't matter. I ain't never changed my preaching anyway. Psalm 73. I about somebody walk out every Sunday. Psalm 73. So, old Bob Jones Sr. said, if somebody don't get mad at me, if the devil don't get mad at me at least once a week, I feel like I'm backslid. Amen. Some probably are. Psalm 73, look at it with me, verse 25 and 26. Now, if that's where the lost and the wicked get their happiness, where does the saint get his or her happiness. So, I got to think about that. Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, happiness originates in the heart, doesn't it? And he said, God is the strength of my heart. Now, all content, real contentment, permanent contentment, everlasting contentment, real happiness comes from God. Since he's creator of all things, of course, he made the contentment our emotion. Did he not? Did God not make our emotions? Help me, class. Amen. Then he made happiness or contentment. Did he not? He made sorrow. He's the originator of all our emotions, all our feelings. Matter of fact, Jesus had every one of them. We read that this morning, that he was tempted in all like manner as we are, yet without sin. And so he felt our emotions. There on the cross he had emotion. Walking he had pity. He had mercy on people, you know. He felt sorry for people. He wept over people. And listen, he is the originator of true happiness. Why is it when people think of biblical, fundamental, Bible-believing Christians, people that believe the Bible? Now, we're not talking about the levitation crowd. We're talking about the ones that believe. I know I say it wrong. I do that to get your attention. Listen, we're talking about people that want to live right, look right, walk right, talk right. You say that's legalism. No, that's happiness if you know what you're doing. Well, a fellow told me, one of these liberal young preachers that thinks he knows everything, he don't know four verses he can quote out loud. He said, you fundamentalists, y'all just build walls. I said, walls are a good thing. No, they ain't walls. You need to tear down them walls. I said, no, you don't. You tear down the walls. That's when the liars and the crooks and the thieves and the wolves and the dangerous things come get you. God put up walls for a reason. Amen. God put up those walls. We need to keep them up. Well, but see, the modern day Christian thinks that those walls that we put up, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about living right, walking right, dressing right, talking right, avoiding evil, abstaining from even the appearance of evil. Those walls protect us from this old wicked world and the ways of this world that will break our heart and ruin our happiness. Bible says a child left unto himself will turn out wrong every time. He's not a happy child. You know the most unhappy children you'll see at Walmart screaming, hollering, walling around the floor. That's the kid that mom and daddy has no rules for that young, except for one, don't stand in front of TV while we watch it. That's right. And the kid's miserable. You know why? He don't know what to do. He needs somebody to tell him what to do. He's confused. He's bewildered. He's in a situation. He's never been there before. And he needs somebody to just look at him, Brother Jeffrey, and say, if you don't be quiet and stand up and behave, we're going outside and I got my belt on. Oh! Child abuse. No, biblical, biblical. You do that now and they won't put him in an orange suit later. Some of y'all don't know what an orange suit is. You'll thank God if you don't. We used to take them to camp. Tracy used to go to camp. Danny went to camp. And sometimes me and Brother Terry McIntyre, y'all didn't know it, we'd be sitting down there beside the pool with them boys swimming. You didn't get in the pool with them boys. You'd die. And besides that, some of them hadn't took a bath 2 or 3 days. It was coming off in the pool. And so we'd be sitting there beside, and Brother Terry said, that one's going to be a banker. I said, yeah. He said, that one's going to be some kind of lawyer or something. I said, yeah. And then I'd point over there and I'd say, they got an orange suit waiting on that one right there. It's true. It's true. Children who have no boundaries, they're not taught, they're not chastened, they're not instructed, are confused and they are not happy. You can buy them everything in the world. Stuff does not make them happy. They need some walls. They need to know that somebody is there putting boundaries up so nothing can get to them and that they can't get out and get hurt. Help me. Most of our children are grown. We got grandchildren now, and it's harder and harder to do that. But happiness is in God. Before I knew Him, I had no happiness. I had temporary, momentarily fulfillment in things that run out after it was over. Now, happiness comes from Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Psalm 128, if you will. Look at verse 1. Psalm 128, verse 1. He says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in His ways." Blessed. The fear of the Lord is derived, happiness is derived from fear of the Lord. Did you know, if I fear Him, I'm going to be more than likely to obey Him. And the Bible says obedience. Obedience is the way to victory. Obedience. So, by fearing the Lord, by obeying the Lord, by trusting in the Lord, and I got a lot of other scriptures I could read you, but for the sake of time, by trusting the Lord, fearing the Lord, obeying the Lord, then He makes things better for me. And when He makes things better for me, then I'm content. Your children. Now, my children still fear me. They love me to death. They love me, but they fear me. They know that I'll joke and go on, you know, and tell sad stories and everything. But if I ever rear up, they'll shut up. They'll shut up, and they'll sit there, and they'll listen to me. And they'll tell me that. They say, "Daddy, we love you, but, you know, there comes a point where we're afraid of what you might do next." And but they ought to be that way. Suzanne or Becky One came to me when they were at Northwestern High School. I think they were about in the 10th grade. And she said this, "Daddy, we can't get a date." Talking about her and Suzanne, they were 10 and a half months apart. So they were right there one grade behind the other. They were always together like twins. And she said, "Daddy, we can't get a date. Won't no boys at school even talk to us." I said, "Why not? You're the prettiest girls at school." And they said, "Because they're afraid of you." I said, "Amen." I said, "Did you tell them where I come from?" Fear is not always a bad thing. Fear brings honor and respect. Amen. And look, if we don't honor and respect God, how in the world can we expect Him to give us the contentment and the happiness that we want? Suzanne put something on Facebook the other day that her daughter, Olivia, the most beautiful girl in Jefferson, Georgia. Olivia, that's my granddaughter. And I'm not exaggerating, she is. And it says, Olivia is 16. And has a car. And she needs some money to put gas in that car and to pay the insurance. Can anybody out there give her, she's got a lot of friends there around town. Can anybody out there give her a job so she can make some money babysitting or something? And people would just say, maybe later or something like that. I wrote on there, I said, tell her Papa will give her the money. And Suzanne put on there, "You and Mama didn't give us no money when we was growing up. You made us work for it." I said, "But I'm Papa." She said, "You taught us responsibility and work." I said, "Well, tell her to come up here and ride my riding lawnmower around on the yard and chop up these leaves, and I'll give her some money." But if you just hand money out to kids, they're not going to be happy. If you put somebody in a housing project, 9 out of 10 times, they're not going to be happy. They have no rent. You paid their light bill. You give them groceries. You know, they're never going to be satisfied. Because they'll never have that sense of satisfaction of being obedient to someone or somebody and fulfilling something other than their own stinking, selfish person. My mama had 9 children. There wasn't no such thing as welfare. Wasn't no such thing as food stamps. Food stamp was where you went out in the cornfield and picked some corn, you know, and shucked it, or went to the cupboard and got out a big old jar of something that she'd soup or something that she'd made up and get it out and eat it. We didn't have no food. We had to plan ahead. But you know what? I hated that garden. I hated working in the garden. I hated the idea of even having a garden. And because while them other boys were playing softball, I was in the garden. And guess what? Come February, I was so happy when Mama broke that soup out of that pantry and brought it out. I didn't say thank God for the garden, but now I look back on it and I say thank God for that garden. Amen. It brought me happiness. Why? Because I'd say, Mama, I'm going to play ball. She said, you ain't playing no ball. You're going to pull weeds. Amen. The fear of God brings happiness. Trust in God. There's nothing better than trusting God to do something and then seeing it happen. Amen. Just imagine what it would be like to move from somewhere around Flint, Michigan, Moab, Michigan or something, all the way down here. And the first day he's down here, first week he's down, 2 or 3 days, visiting his kids and grandkids, he rides around and finds a house. First couple of days he's here. Just think, coming all the way from the fires of hell called California. It's on fire, man. It's awful. God might be in love. Well, he is. He's in a lot of that. Listen, what would it be like to go from one side of the country to the other? He didn't know where he was going to live. He didn't know where he was going to live. Then all of a sudden got a nice house in a nice neighborhood. Amen? And contentment comes from stuff like, did you get a house yet? We still praying. You ain't got one? You should have told me. I done seen 2 or 3. contentment comes from waiting on God to take care of you and trust in it. Amen? When your kids was little, did they... You was probably more sophisticated than that. My kids were wild when they was little. They'd stand up on the couch and say, Daddy, catch! I turn around, there they were. Hey! But I called them, amen? It's the same way with God. They just laugh, you know, because they trusted Daddy was going to catch them. Now, to my point, that was just my introduction. Go back and read, if you will. Go back and read verse 14, 15, 17. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm talking about being happy, being content, not being... Look, I'm not talking about one of these old grouchy Baptists. I'm talking about being content. If you grew up the way some of us did, you was content very easily. John chapter 13. Go back to John 13. Look at verse 14, 15, 17. Just shorten it down real quick. Y'all aren't listening fast enough. You're not going to be content when you leave out here late. All right. Verse 14, if you will. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Would you say that's in the Bible? You don't have a little note or nothing in there that says that don't belong in older manuscripts or nothing like that, do you? If you do, throw it away, get you a Bible. And then look at verse 15. He said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now verse 17. Verse 17. If ye know these things, what things? He just washed your feet. He just said, it's an example. If you know these things, that serving one another, humbling yourself, getting down and doing things that are dirty and nasty sometimes for others, if you know that works, you'll be happy. Watch out for church members who do nothing for others. Write that down somewhere. Watch out for church members or professing Christians who do nothing for others. Got quiet. He said, if the Lord of glory washed your feet,
if he humbled himself enough to get down and to serve you in the lowest way, then you ought to love and serve one another. And if you do, happy are you. You know, a child of God's happier when they're serving others than they are any other time. You know, you see these advertisements, you know, relevant church. We have relevant church. We have a modern church. We have whatever come to serving church. You put that in the paper, you won't get many people. We have a serving church where we believe you ought to serve one another. Not be served, but you ought to serve one another. We got some folks going to take this piano home, Brett and Kathy. We need some men to serve them, help them move this thing. Amen? We already got one right there. See, he said, as long as you're serving somebody else, here's the thing about it. If I'm serving you, I ain't got time to gripe and complain. Watch out for the ones who just sit at the table. They just sit there. You ever been to eat somewhere with a family or something, you know, and grown people sitting all around that table, and grandma is the one up serving everybody else. Poor grandma can't even eat. She's running all the way around that table serving everybody else and got grown youngins in Western English or Northern English. That means adult children. She's got grown youngins, and they sitting there like a knot on a log, letting poor grandma, she's done all the cooking, she's doing all the serving, and she'll end up cleaning up. She's happy. She is, she's happy. She's not complaining, she's happy. When I was a kid, probably until I was 25 years old, I thought my mama loved chicken necks. I did. I tried to eat one time. I couldn't get enough meat off that thing. There ain't enough meat on it to make soup, hardly. And my mama would serve all her children and grown children too. I was next to the youngest, and grown children be sitting there, and grown daughters, and she'd be up serving everybody, just cutting up chicken and serving stuff. And then when it come down to the end, somebody'd say, "Well, Ruth, ain't you going to eat?" She'll say, "Well, I already ate a little bit while I was cooking. I'll eat after everybody's gone." You know the only thing that was left? A chicken neck. Now, if she was Mexican, that wouldn't surprise me. She'd eat the feet, too, and the eyeballs, too, and the head, too. But she's not. She was a redneck, red-blooded American. But she ate chicken necks because everybody else ate the good parts because she gave them away while she was serving everybody else. You know, church is a whole lot like that. Church is like, we had a Christmas dinner the other night. And you know what? You can always tell, Brother Jeffrey, the ones that are servants. They show up early. They stay late. Getting quiet. They help clean up before they go home. They help set up, you know. But not only that, they'll get back of the line to eat while everybody else rushes up and pushes to the front of the line. That wasn't you, was it? Okay. Church is the same way. It's hard. And guess what? The ones that jumped in line and didn't help do anything, they don't stay to help do anything, they don't clean up, they just come sit at the table, they enjoy it, and thank God they come. I get to preach to them. Amen. But those same ones will gripe and say, "Ooh, this is cold. Ooh, who made that? I won't eat that no more. Come on. Help me here. I'm going to go ahead." Kevin made the best collard greens I ever ate in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. That boy right there is a cook. And if I could eat, I ate three helpings. Did you see me? He was making fun of me because he won't eat collard greens because he's not thankful for what he gets. See? Woman came to church one night. She said she had about an 8 or 9 year old boy. He was a brat. The boy was a brat. There ain't no other way to pronounce it. Brat, brat, brat. Nobody wanted to be around him. Nobody wanted to be in the room with him. He was a B-R-A-T, brat. That's in the Bible. Some words probably transliterated into something else. But I'm going to tell you something. She said, and you would know her if I called her name, she said, I can't get my boy. He's on this cheese kick and peanut butter kick, and all he'll eat is peanut butter sandwiches and cheese sandwiches. I said, you better do something. She said, I can't get him to eat nothing else. I said, he's that tall. You're that tall. She said, well, he just pitches a fit. I said, whip him. I said, if you don't whip him, you're going to have him down at the doctor's office pretty soon, because you can't just eat cheese and peanut butter. He's going to be in a heap of trouble pretty soon. I said, give that boy some collard greens. Give him some turnip greens. Feed him something green. He's going to be hurting, I'm telling you. She didn't. He did. You know what the doctor told him? You need to give this boy a balanced diet. He won't eat it. There's a lot of Baptists the same way. Amen. But if we're going to be happy, we can't just sit at the table. I'm not just talking about eating. I'm talking about spiritual things. You know, a lot of people claim to be saved. They'll come in here every Sunday, and I don't have the steak and potatoes. What I serve is probably cheeseburgers and fries, you know, spiritually speaking. But y'all like it anyway. Don't say much for any of us, does it? But you go out of here, fool. And then what do you do with it? Pass it on. See, we serve others by sharing, okay? I wash your feet. They need it bad. I get up. You wash my feet. And then we wash somebody else's feet. And then we wash somebody else. Well, we don't practice that here, preacher. I'm not talking about literally. Of course, if you ever want to do it, I wouldn't be ashamed to do it. Amen. But there's a lot of other ways you can wash people's feet by serving them in as humble a way as that is serving them in a humble way. Watch out for those church members or people that say they're saints who don't serve through the local church, but they seek applause everywhere they go. You know, there's a whole group of people that claim to be Christians that don't even belong to a church. And they claim to be in the ministry. And they don't even belong to a church. Y'all still with me? And they'll show up, buddy. They'll show up. And they'll say, I just want to be a blessing. Well, if you want to be a blessing, join the church, put your name on the cleanup list, tithe, give to the building fund, join the choir, come to practice, do something besides look for a spotlight and applause. I make people mad talking like that. Well, I worry about people say they're Christians. They won't even belong to a local church, bro. Jesus died for the church. Jesus loves the church. He said if we'd meet, he'd meet with us at the church. So how do they reconcile all those things to just showing up every once in a while? When they show up, they want everybody to serve them and build up their ego and make them feel like they're really something. And then here you are every week, every service, faithful, serving one another. Nobody ever gives you applause. Nobody ever pats you on the back. Nobody ever asks you anything. They just expect you to be here. And they just expect you to do what you're doing for them. But they don't expect themselves to do anything. You know what happens to them? They're not happy. They're not happy. They're miserable people. You know what they'll do? They'll run in and out of churches when they're like that. And they'll run in and out of churches. And at first, you know, they'll be real happy. And then when the applause runs out and the bright lights go off. They're critical of everything and everybody in that church. Don't get quiet on me now. Man, did you hear what that preacher said? You'll look at him and say, yeah, I've heard that same dumb joke 15 times.
I like it every time.
The pastor preached with breeches unzipped the whole sermon that Sunday. Did you hear that choir? Somebody's off. I heard them. Yeah, but you was too lazy to join the church and join the choir and practice with them. Say amen, Holroyd. Don't sit by there like a Methodist. Oh, I'm sorry. He was. That's the Methodist, amen. Those people are not happy. You know why? They're not serving. They're just looking for applause. Watch out. I'm about through. It's 1 minute after. Watch out for people who watch the clock. No. I thought about this. Watch out for those who never minister, but they want to be ministered to. Well, bless me if you can, church. Let's see how you can sing this Sunday. Well, go ahead, Brother Billy. Let's just see how y'all sing today. Bless me if you can. Well, go ahead, preacher. Bless me if you can. And they want people to minister to them. You know what we pray? Me and my wife pray every Sunday coming to church. Here's what we pray. Lord, bless us so we can be a blessing. Every Sunday, that's what we pray. Lord, bless us so we can be a blessing. Do you know how often I get to go to church? I go 3 times a week, but you know how often I get to be ministered to? See, all my former pastors are dead. I got nobody to call. All my heroes, just about, my great heroes of the faith that I've known, some of y'all don't know them, never even heard of them. Most of them gone. You know how I get my blessing? By ministering to others. That's how I get my blessing. That's how I get ministered to. Because see, when somebody walks out that door and says he preaches just like he did when I was a little boy riding his bus and he was preaching in children's church, that blesses my heart. See, when people walk out of here and say, you sound just like old Bully Falconberry, I say, praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's a great comment. Or somebody walk out here and say, you sound just like old Wayne Smith on that doctrine stuff. Praise God. Amen. I'm a little bit of all of those. Watch out for people who want to be ministered to, but they never want to minister. Brother Rick, you didn't think much about it, but that float and that Christmas thing, you know, let's admit, it was kind of like Virginia has come to town, you know. But that ministered to people. People enjoyed doing that. Now, you're not a preacher. I don't think you'll ever be a preacher. I could be wrong. You're already a better preacher than some I know, but I don't think you'll ever be. But you're a minister in other ways. Billy goes over there, those people got Alzheimer's and dementia and all that stuff. And he sings the same songs to them every week. When was the last time you come up with a new song? You don't have to come up with a new song. You can sing one song every week, the same song, and still minister to those people. You see what I'm saying? Watch out for that crowd that just wants to sit there and don't want to be a blessing. They just want to get a blessing. And let me tell you what they'll do. They'll be real critical. Because you see, if you don't do anything, it's easy to criticize what other people do. Because you don't make mistakes. Because you don't do anything. You got to do something to make a mistake. So it's easy to criticize you, Tom, for forgetting to clean up church after you put your name on it. I've been trying to work that in there somewhere. But it's easy to criticize. Hey, it's easy to criticize that if you never put your name on the list. Some of y'all ain't never put your name on the list the first time to forget it. It's easy to criticize the pastor leading the singing, but you ain't ever done it. Watch out. Watch out. It's easy to criticize a sermon if you ain't never preached one. It's easy to criticize a Sunday school lesson if you never taught one. Amen. People say, well, I'm scared to go visit. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. Well, it's easy not to say the wrong thing by not going. You ought to go sometimes and say something wrong and learn something by it. By the way, you know, most sinners don't know whether you're right or wrong. If you quote the Bible, they don't read the Bible. Amen. I had this guy, I took him to the jailhouse to preach with me one time. I had jail ministry. And no, I wasn't in the jail. I just had a jail ministry. And he said, what if I make a mistake? I said, there ain't nobody in here going to know it. I said, you think these people sitting here and read the Bible all the time? I said, they tear those pages out and roll them up and smoke pot out of them. Yeah. They do. We used to give away Bibles. They made us quit giving Bibles in Chester County. I said, why? He said, because they're tearing the pages out and roll them up for pot. And they're smoking pot. I said, that's the wrong way to get the word in you. Amen. But it's easy to criticize somebody for doing things if you don't never do it. I better go on. I can tell I done made about 2/3 of you, man. Did you know the real happy Christians are the ones that are busy serving? They ain't got time to complain. And by the way, as a pastor, I just thank God for anybody that will do anything. And I've made a lot of mistakes on account of that. I mean, when we first started here, somebody'd say, well, you know, I led the singing in 3 churches. I said, praise God, hallelujah. Get up there and lead the singing. Tom, do you remember some of them? Oh, that was a mistake. I never should. And then I didn't know how to tell them to sit down. Because I thought, well, at least they're trying to serve. And then when they would finally say, preacher, I just don't think I can do this anymore. I said, oh, that's awful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But at least they tried. Amen. Happy Christians are people serving. Did you know that real Christians will lower themselves to serve others? It's hard to talk about this because I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings or offend you in this way. Everybody does not have the education you have. Everybody does not have the material things that you have. Everybody does not have money in the bank. Everybody doesn't have the gifts and the talents that you have. And that's exactly the people you ought to be serving. And she's not here, I can say this. Sister Pat is legally blind. She has to read like this. Serious. And she works. The woman works. Walks to work sometimes. Walks back. All the way out to I-77. I found a Christian ministry that may come by and pick her up. It's a van ministry. It's Christian. Anyway, her handwriting's terrible. But she don't know it. Because she can't hardly see her handwriting. And when you get a birthday card or an anniversary card or we missed you card, guess who wrote that card? Sister Pat wrote that card.
Yes, it is.
Amen. If you know who it is, it's beautiful. Now, some stranger may get one and say, ew, who wrote that? Oh, shut up. I'll do what they said in Lancaster. I'll jack slap you and ask the Lord to forgive me when I get through doing it. Don't you mess with Pat. Amen? And you know, there's some lazy, low-down Christians who won't serve God, but they just want to criticize everything else. And they'd come in here and tear this church apart and destroy it, and people like Pat would have nowhere to go where they could serve the Lord. We'll serve one another. We'll serve one another. That way the world knows that we're followers of Christ and that we love one another. Did you know I serve people who don't even like me? I serve people sometimes that just stay more mad at me than they do anything else. But it's my job to serve. It's their job to eat it. You say, well, preacher, I used to do this and I used to do that, but nobody appreciated nobody. That's not your job. Your job is to do it. It's their job to receive it. You'll get reward for doing it, whether they receive it or not. You know, everybody don't like your piano player. And that's, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some that would rather have a CD. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. Because it's got them drums in the background, you know, and it's got all that boogie-woogie music in the background, you know. And here's poor old Jeff playing the piano and the old hymns full of the Word of God. By the way, he's the best in town. He's the best in the county. It might be the state, but I haven't been around much lately. But it might be the state. Now, look, it's not our job to make them receive what we serve. It's our job to serve. Sometimes I get Dan to come up here and lead in a song. You know why? He wants to serve. You say, well, I ain't been here long enough. Shut up. I didn't know we was running on seniority around here. By the way, if you can do it better than him, let me know. I don't think you can. Many have tried. But the idea is, there was one person in that crowd that wasn't a servant. You know what his name was? Judas. That tells me there's only two kinds of Christians. Those who serve and those who don't. Real Christians. Fake. Hypocrites. Judases. Judas didn't serve anybody but himself. He looked out for himself. He was in this whole thing just to have that money, to carry it, to decide what to do with it. The rest of them, they didn't even know how much money they had. They just went right on serving with the Lord. And I think our church is the same way. You're going to have two kinds of people in church. You're going to have those who serve, and they're true to their heart. They want to, how they want to serve Jesus, and they want to serve others. And you're going to have others that don't want to serve anybody. They want to be served. And usually that means they're lost. Because if you're not serving, you're going to be unhappy. And if you're unhappy, then you're going to make other people unhappy. Here's what you need to do next time you feel like complaining, get up and do something. Get up! Go over there to the nursing home. We'll let you have the complainers. Go in there and wheel that poor lady down the hall. Come over here and clean up the church. Go with Brother Dan in Children's Church. If you ever want to get close to purgatory, go to Dan in Children's Church. Sing in the choir. And you'll be happy. And later on, you know what happened? Like mom in her garden in that pantry, it'll come back to you. And you'll be glad you stopped complaining and started serving. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir. By the way, Judas was not happy. He never was. He died unhappy. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to remind ourselves every once in a while, I am not a Lord. He's the Lord. He said, I'm the Lord. I'm the Master. I am a servant. I'm a servant. I'm your servant. We're each other's servants. And if you see a need, you know what? There shouldn't have to be a list running around the church to get that need fulfilled. If you see a need, just go do it. If you need some help, ask for it. Amen? This poor boy here has had a need now for a month. His wife's been gone. He needs somebody to clean up the house and wash the clothes. And I'd hate to see your house, brother. Well, preacher, there's stains on these carpet. Clean them. If you want to be happy, serve others. I've been doing it now since 1979, and I was licensed in 82 and ordained in 83. And every week of every year, ever since then, I've been serving others. And it felt so good today for that boy to walk in here. 40 years old. He said, "Preacher, I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm having a hard time." He said, "My wife's left me. I've lost my daughter. I've lost my home." He said, "I'm 40 years old and I'm living with my mom and daddy again." I said, "Well, you know what, son? Today you did a good thing. You came to church." And I said, "Today you did the right thing. And you're going to go home feeling like today I did something right." And I served that boy. And I didn't even know who he was then. I found out later who he was. But I served him today just like I served him when he was 10 years old. Y'all don't know how good that makes me feel. You want to be happy? Serve. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I've tried to bring it.